Radhe Govinda Krishna Kanaya. Radhe Govinda Krishna Kanaya. Radhe Govinda Krishna Kanaya. Radhe Govinda Krishna Kanaya. Krishna Kanaya Radhe Govinda
Krishna Kanaya Radhe Govinda
Krishna Kanaya Radhe Govinda
Krishna Kanaya Radhe Govinda
Radhe Govinda Krishna Kanaya Krishna Kanaya
Radhe Govinda Krishna Kanaya
Krishna Kanaya Radhe Govinda
Krishna Kanaya Radhe Govinda
Krishna Kanaya Radhe Govinda
Krishna Kanaya Radhe Govinda
Radhe Govinda Krishna Kanaya
Radhe Govinda Krishna Kanaya
Radhe Govinda Krishna Kanaya
Radhe Govinda Krishna Kanaya
Krishna Kanaya Radhe Govinda
Krishna Kanaya Radhe Govinda
Rajamana Bhajamana Krishna Kanaya
Bhajamana Krishna Kanaya
Bhajamana Krishna 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 Kanaya
Bhajamana Krishna 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 Kanaya
Bhajamana Krishna Krishna, 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 Kanaya.
Bhajamana Krishna, 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 Kanaya.
Bhajamana Radhe, 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 Radhe. Bhajamana Krishna Kanaya
Bhajamana Krishna Kanaya
Bhajamana Krishna Kanaya
Bhajamana Krishna Kanaya
Radhe Govinda Krishna Kanaya
Radhe Govinda Krishna Kanaya
Radhe Krishna Kanaya Radhe Govinda
Krishna Kanaya Radhe Govinda
Krishna Kanaya Radhe Govinda
Krishna Kanaya Radhe Govinda
Radhe Govinda Krishna Kanaya Krishna Kanaya
Radhe Govinda Krishna Kanaya
Krishna Kanaya Radhe Govinda
Krishna Kanaya Radhe Govinda
Krishna Kanaya Radhe Govinda
Krishna Kanaya Radhe Govinda
Radhe Radhe Radhe
In mathematical logic, there's a term called instantiation, where you pick a particular value in a function to replace a variable. And the function or the equation takes form around a specific value. In the spiritual case, the same is true. We as individuals take a particular form, a particular instantiation of the universal consciousness. Consciousness is the same in all of us. And the base consciousness is that with which we wake up in the morning before the first thought is there. That's our basic state. We all share the same consciousness. That's not mean that I have the same one as Mamji. Because Mamji's in Nova Scotia and I'm here in Los Angeles. It's just that the quality of consciousness is the same in every individual. Every entity that has a body, whether it's Jones or Janet's or Ted's or Ed's or Alan's or Lakshmi's, the consciousness is the same. This is the function of awareness, the function of knowing, function of existence. And consciousness only operates through bodies, sentient beings. Sentient beings everywhere share one consciousness. And I don't mean one in the sense of one entity behind all. But we all share the same chicken soup, so to speak, of consciousness. We're all separate instantiations in one function of consciousness, of knowing. And to better let you know quality of that universal consciousness, there's nothing better than chanting. Because chanting can remove you from your body and flow like the wind, a spiritual wind through you. So when you hear the chanting, become the chanting. And you can't do it by deliberately trying to identify with it, but by opening up, relaxing, and let the chanting go through you. Let it take you over, so to speak. So I'd like to try another chant. And this is a beautiful chant. And it's a short chant. And just let it take you over. And know the function of consciousness through the chanting. And I guess there are two Om Gurus, correct? No. Let's try Gurudeva. It's 5 minutes long. Feel the chant go through you. Okay. Surrender to the music. Flow with the music, and that is your universal consciousness. Get out of your individuality. Get out of your personhood and become the music. That's the whole function of chanting. Chanting God's name. You're chanting consciousness' name, for God is consciousness. You know, I had an awakening the hard way. I practiced meditation for 27 years, going deep all the time, exploring consciousness, being with various gurus, various teachers, being utterly confused by having five teachers at once. I learned so much. One teacher, one teaching. It keeps the confusion down. Even if it's the wrong teacher, you'll learn more than scattering yourselves among five teachers, and you won't be so confused. And then when Robert left, I just chanted and dwelled in myself. And the awakening experiences came. Now, 15 years later, I'm doing the same thing all over again, but through the bhakti route. Exactly as Nisargadatta described. Find your sense of self, the I am. Love the I am. In loving I am, you're loving consciousness. Through that love, you gain entry into the I am state. And in the I am state comes the certainty that you are beyond the I am state, that you're the absolute. Totally beyond the I am. I first read Nisargadatta back in 1988, I believe it was, Ramesh's book, Pointers from Sri Nisargadatta. And a short time afterwards, Prior to Consciousness by Gene Dunn, my other teacher. It took me 6 months to read Prior to Consciousness. Because every page was like a hammer blow to my head. My mind would stop. I'd feel in awe of the emptiness of consciousness. But I sort of ignored those states because they were contrary to the instructions that Robert gave me, which was just to do self-inquiry. I ignored the bliss. I ignored the knowledge. I just practiced self-inquiry. One teacher, one teaching. Not two, not three, not five like I had at the time. No confusion. Just effort, one-pointedness, perseverance, as Robert said. Perseverance was everything. But this new way that Nisargadatta teaches, especially using the Nisargadatta Gita as a meditation manual, is all that you need. And it's so much easier and so much faster. The roundabout way that I took, going from teacher to teacher and even doing self-inquiry and even hanging around Robert. Rajiv attained awakening using the old school method, 11 years of meditation. Before we started communicating, and within 4 months, he had broken through. And knew of the Absolute and knew the Absolute, because you are the Absolute at all times. And you know it. You can know it through meditation, or you can know it through conviction. There are many different ways to know it, but you have to know it. But this new way is more powerful. It can grab you with its love in the states of ecstasy. To go deep automatically, and then knowledge arises in consciousness because consciousness is knowledge. And for this path to really be successful, you need both meditation and concepts. I highly recommend reading Nisargadatta. Very few people understand that he really was a bhakti. Everybody calls him a great jnani, but he's really a great bhakti. He talks about love all the time. Love of the I Am, that the I Am itself is love, the love to be. And that bhakti and jnani are not different. This way is so easy. Just learn to love yourself, which is not easy if you don't know what the self is. So first you have to isolate the sense of I Am. Immerse yourself in it, the sense of presence, a sense of existence. Immerse yourself in it and go deep that way. And the more that sense of presence is felt, the more you can love it. Recently, I received an email from a longtime Zen practitioner. For 15 years, he's been practicing Shikantaza, which is the Soto school way of meditation, where the mind becomes very still and reflects equally everything in the outside world. But within that world that he perceived was his own sense of presence. And I told him to change, rather than identifying with everything in consciousness. Just focus on his sense of presence. That sense that I am. I have come alive. The first day he started feeling a sudden movement of love. Within 5 days he was feeling love in its many, many colors and very powerfully. Love for a lover. Love for a child. Love for a parent. Sibling love. All the various colors of love were suffusing his being. And from a dry Zen type like I was, he has become a wet bhakti type in a week. And I'm sure he'll make rapid progress from now on, because he's found a new key to his practice, something that will revitalize not only his practice, but his whole being, filling it with love. And that love is a glue and also a fuel. I've been receiving a lot of letters lately about long-time advaitins who have practiced for 20 or 30 years, various different kinds of spiritual practices or meditations. That suddenly love has come into their lives. And what a transformation it has made in their practice. And they're now seeing that just being a good human being is the highest good in their practice. To love themselves and to love others. Like I used to say, not everybody can awaken or have awakening experiences. But at least in the practice of caring for others and of becoming a caretaker for the world, you've achieved something. You can look back at your life and say, I made a difference. You know, you can chase spiritual states like many of us have. You can chase a state where you're aware all the time of the coming and going of consciousness. You can chase states where you're constantly in bliss or in love. Chase a state where you're one with everything. You can chase a state where you disappear and there's only consciousness. You can chase a state where you're one with the universal consciousness and just feel the quality of consciousness in you and that consciousness is separate from your body. These are all states you can gain after practice. But for what end? What's the end that you want to achieve? Where are you going? What is it that you want? What will make you feel complete? When will you stop chasing states and wait for them to come to you? Do you want to know emptiness? Why? Because I said so? Do you want to know bliss? Why? Because somebody else said so? Osho said so? What do you want? What in your life is so bad? What are you looking for? The strange thing is, what most people are looking for is just love. And that love is the gateway to the Absolute. Personally, I still love meditation, going deep inside, plunging deep inside into the darkness, into the emptiness that lights up and becomes one sense of presence and even contains the sense of presence. I love it. But now with this new approach, going the bhakti way into the same place that I attained with Robert, it's a whole new adventure. Yesterday, almost the entire day, I was in an ecstatic state, often hardly aware of my body at all. I felt like I had come face to face with God, and He was smiling at me, and I was filled with love, and I was filled with ecstasy, and I could barely move. I didn't want to move. I didn't want to do anything. For most of the day, it ebbed and flowed and ebbed and flowed, and finally went to bed, went away when I went to bed. It was like those experiences that I had with Nisargadatta in 1988, when my mind stopped stunned at the sheer awe of existence and of consciousness and its magnificence. Just awe. My whole body was tingling, what I could feel of my body. But mostly it was emptiness filled with love, filled with ecstasy. I didn't want to move. So is this an end state? No. But it's really interesting when it happens. We each have our own path, like Joanne, Mamji. She's a karma yogin, yogini. 3 or 4 years from now, she'll burn out. She'll be happy. She'll feel complete. She may go into ecstasy, but eventually it'll all drop away and she'll become a has-been, a good-for-nothing, like me. She'll have burned out. That bright bulb will become nothing. All that energy will drop away and into contentment inside of herself. The same with Alan. I hope that's beer you're drinking, Ellen. Each one of us will change over the next 4 years if we persist. Tina is getting closer. Ted is getting closer. Someday we'll all be good for nothing. The bright sense of presence, the power, will diminish, and we'll walk into a room and everybody will not notice us, and how free we'll feel. Let's have another short chant. Chanting is good, people. Chanting is good. I'm saving that. How about I will sing thy name? And the reason I'm picking this is because it's talking about love. And try to feel the love in the chant and feel it in your heart. Isolate your sense of presence. And sing to that sense of presence, and let the sense of presence respond. I will sing thy name. Put your own name in there.
I will sing thy name, I will drink thy name, and get all drunk with thy name. I will sing thy name, I will drink thy name, and get all drunk with thy name. I will sing thy name, I will drink thy name, and get all drunk with thy name. I will sing thy name, I will drink thy name, and get all drunk with thy name. I will sing thy name, I will drink thy name, and get all drunk with thy name. I will sing thy name, I will drink thy name, and get all drunk with thy name. I will sing thy name, I will drink thy name, and get all drunk with thy name. Om Guru, Om Guru, Om Guru, Om. Om Guru, Om Guru, Om Guru, Om. Om Guru, Om Guru, Om Guru, Om.
Thank you.
to me, oh, come to me. Oh, my Guru, come to me. Come to me, oh, come to me. Oh, my Guru, come to me. Come to me, oh, come to me. Oh, my Guru, come to me. Come to me, oh, come to me. Oh, my Guru, come to me. Come to me, oh, come to me. Oh, my Guru, come to me. Come to me, oh, come to me.
This is from Prior to Consciousness. If Atman is Satchitananda, being, consciousness, bliss, what is Paramatman, Maharaj? Satchitananda will, in due course, become Paramatman. Satchitananda is I amness and is itself a state of bliss, a state of love, but it is an experiential state. So long as consciousness is there, and consciousness there is only as long as the body is available, it is a time-bound state. You must transcend the Satchitananda state. All this bliss that I'm going through, and others are going through now, has to be transcended. And just the process of going through it, you recognize that it is experiential and is not you. It is an experience coming to you, just like waking consciousness comes to you. Sleep comes to you. Maharaj, how many years back did you take the mantra from me? He used to teach mantra, an introductory mantra for people, like his teacher taught him. They progress by using mantras. The questioner 3 years ago. The knowledge you are is God. You worship that, and one day you will realize that you are not an individual. You will realize that you are the universal consciousness which cannot suffer. There is no pain or pleasure for that consciousness. Not through intellect, but through intense meditation, you will know it. That meditation will be done by consciousness itself. To meditate on something is to become that. I am fully established in the unborn state, but I still am experiencing the state of multiplicity, but it has no effect on me. I didn't know I was. Presently, I know I am. This is the same I with a knowingness mantle over it. This is the way the very absolute transformed itself into the grosser consciousness, the state of appearance. This is the way the absolute transformed itself into this grosser consciousness state, the state of appearance. I am the God. I am the devotee. I am the worshiping. All the same, one common principle. I am the devotee, I am the worshiping. All the same, one common principle. He's talking about the I am state, the state of love, and it's also the same as the absolute, but it's the manifest part of the absolute. The absolute manifests itself through the I am. It knows it exists through I am, through knowingness, through consciousness. Boy, you Canadians are really suffering, aren't you? None of you have air conditioner. You're all sweating. You think it's me radiating energy, but no, it's the atmosphere. Suppose witnessing stops. Is it samadhi? suppose you all go away. Then there is no more witnessing. I am still here, but I have nothing to witness. In that beingness, the otherliness is there and witnessing takes place. In beingness, duality is there and witnessing takes place. If consciousness is not there, the Absolute cannot know itself. There is nothing but the Absolute, therefore no witnessing. The Absolute does not know itself. When you're asleep, you're closer to the Absolute than you are in the waking state, because in the waking state, I Am is there, filling you with illusions and appearances, which have to be seen through. The concepts have to be seen through. The appearances have to be seen through as empty holograms, so to speak. Even the void is an appearance. Knowing is an experiential state. The I Am is an experiential state. Satchitananda is the experiential state. But you are beyond those states. And you know it in those moments of ecstasy. The knowledge is there that this bliss is experienced by you who is removed from it. Even if you feel identified with it, the knowledge is there that you are prior to it, you are beyond this blissful state, beyond the trance state, beyond the I Am. It becomes more and more certain. And as it becomes more and more certain, you become less and less moved by things. And you know that the appearances take care of themselves. The play of consciousness takes care of itself. You know, a few weeks ago I was worried about money coming in to take care of the cats that I feed, all the ferals that I give people food money to feed the cats. But it wasn't a big worry, let me tell you. I have plenty of savings. But I explored, why is this taking place? And Alan said, taking a look at the data, I don't see anything. And I didn't want to do a deep analysis because I didn't have the energy and I didn't care enough. So we hit upon a novel solution. Ask for money. And it worked. No big deal. This is something I've learned, and it wasn't some sudden epiphany. I just noted in my life that I've really become a lazy fuck. I don't care. I really don't care what happens. You know, once you get on the spirit path, deeply into the spiritual path, once you get past the tourist stage, where you're reading 5 books a day, and settle down into a serious practice and with one teacher, or without a teacher, but a serious, pointed effort to understand who and what you are, your life takes care of itself. It doesn't feel that way. It really doesn't feel that way because you get lazier and lazier and lazier and you want to do less and less. And the Ashtavakra Gita puts it very well when the jnani is the laziest of all people. He has a hard time even making the effort to breathe because he's complete, satisfied. He's okay with the way things are. But a lot of people have to go through some devastating learning processes before they trust that God is taking care of them, that consciousness is taking care of them. They lose their job because they can't work anymore. they lose their spouse because the spouse doesn't understand them anymore. Or, like me, I was always feeling so peaceful and quiet. Anytime anybody disturbed me, I got enraged. Muktananda used to do that also, I understand. You feel such peace. You don't want anybody to disturb you with any activity whatsoever. Or like Dia, you almost die from lack of taking care of yourself. Or Ramana, where he sat in the basement of a temple or in a cave for 20 years and didn't move, and the insects bit him, and he got glued to the floor with his own blood and pus. You don't care. And a lot of people at this point are scratching their heads, is this what I want? And you have to know that. This is what happens. All kinds of things happen. You lose your job. You lose your spouse. You lose your home. People would run to Robert all the time. Robert, I have this problem. I don't have any money. My savings are run out, and I can't find a job. I'm overqualified. And it's just terrible. It's terrible. I'm suffering so much. And he would ask, what's the worst that can happen? And I said, well, I could lose my house. And he'd say, well, so what? What then? And he would always point this out, that no matter what the worry is, you're just worried about your body, and you're not the body. You're not your possessions. You're not your kids. You're not your house. You're not your cat, your dog, or anything like that. They have nothing to do with the deepest part of you, and that is what is being nourished in the spiritual game, so to speak. God is coming inside and guiding you, taking you away from that which will destroy you or keep you in prison, and showing you a new life, a new liberty, a new meaning, a new love, a new ecstasy, something totally new and free, taking you away from the old boundaries, the old bonds. For 2 years before Robert left Los Angeles, I couldn't work to save my life, even the simplest jobs. And for 4 years after he left Los Angeles, I couldn't find a job. I was overqualified. Nobody wanted me. And all the monks know about this. Nobody wants you after a while when you're in spirituality. You're good for nothing. The world doesn't want you anymore. It rejects you. But you're not in this world. It only appears to be that way. You are entirely beyond the world. And God is trying to show you, you're not this part of this world. Don't worry about it. It'll take care of itself. You'll be taken care of. Your children will be taken care of. Whatever is really important will be taken care of, better than you could ever do it. I got such ridiculous jobs during that 9 years, 6 years of a period of time. I worked in the Census Bureau, taking a census and going from house to house, being screamed at with people. I got all kinds of crummy little jobs. I went to Korea, where they made me the first American world teacher of Buddhism, of their kind of Buddhism, of Zen. I came back to Los Angeles, and it turned out they wanted me to be sort of a functionary of their church here in Los Angeles. It was all a con job. Then one day, I went for a job interview in workers' comp because I had done that from about 1987 to 1991 when workers' comp fell apart. And I applied for the job. I was hoping to get anything over $30,000. And this woman came up to me after the interview. And she says, you recognize me? I said, no. And it turns out she was married to the psychiatrist I was applying for a job to, Dr. Curtis. Her name is Kathy Curtis. I had worked with Kathy when I first, as she was a secretary then, at another psychiatrist's office, and she knew me from then when I was working there from 1987 to 1991. I got the job for $50,000. I didn't even ask for it. She just offered me $50,000. It came out of nowhere. And I've been doing that ever since, one way or another, for one person to another. And it's just constantly unfolded with no problem since then. God has been guiding me every moment. I use the word God because that's common. You could say consciousness, but the concept is the same. The big thing Robert wanted to teach everybody, and I'm trying to teach you, is once you're deeply involved in yourself, everything will be taken care of, even though that's the last thing you think is the case. You think you have to struggle and strive to make things work in the way you've always struggled and strived to make things work. But you don't have to. You can give it all up. Just surrender every moment. Let the house be taken from you. Let your savings be taken from you. Let your job be taken from you. Let everything be taken from you, and you'll be so happy. Somebody will take over your job and do it fantastically. Somebody will take your spouse and have a fantastic life with them. And you'll be happy. Free. Was it Ramakrishna who was asked why he never remarried after his wife died? And he said, after she died, I married freedom. So, that out of the way, a couple more quotes from Nisargadatta. Suppose I'm just watching all the actions are happening through me and I'm doing nothing. Is this meditation? Oh, wait. Suppose I am just watching all actions are happening through me and I am doing nothing. Is meditation necessary? That is a sort of meditation. But the right meditation is when you meditate on yourself. You come to that state when you woke up in the morning and you watched the consciousness. That is the state when you meditate on yourself. Presently you think that consciousness is watching consciousness. But consciousness being watched from the absolute platform only. You're not consciousness. That's the first step identifying with consciousness, the universal consciousness, the function, so to speak, of which the body is a particular instantiation. But all this is happening and being witnessed by the witness who is the ultimate cognizer, who cannot cognize himself or herself. The subject is always a mystery. You look perplexed, Tim. I didn't say anything. I said you look perplexed. Okay. These lectures were written in the last year of his life, Maharaj's life. When will I be pronounced dead? When the Atman has left the body, but I am not the Atman, then where is my death? I am not affected by cancer because whatever happens, whatever the experience, I surrender all of them to the Atman. All the actions and fruits of the actions are surrendered to the Atman by Parabrahman, the Absolute. You can never have knowledge about yourself because Parabrahman cannot be witnessed. You know that you are not. What you are, you cannot know. And here he's saying, whatever happens in consciousness, he surrenders it to the I am. Said, not me. This is not me. This is you. You, consciousness, this is yours. I refuse it. This is the conviction you get after a while of watching the coming and going of states. You know that you're unchanged through all of these. How many times have you wakened up in the morning or napped and wakened up? If you're 50 years old, that's, what is it, 15,000 days? 50 times 300, 3,000, 15,000, right? 15, 20,000 times. And then you nap at least once a day, or like me, twice a day. So you wake up 30,000 times, 45,000 times, you make that transition. You got to learn something from it other than going from one state to another state. If you pay attention, you learned you're not touched by these transitions between these states. You always remain the same. Okay. Om Guru Jaya Guru. It's the long chant with Nityananda. It's 12 minutes. And we'll just continue sitting after it's over. Remember, the point of the chanting is to identify with the music, which is more ethereal than your body, more ethereal than even the I am. It's like the wind. It has no resting place.
Thank you.
Love you all, and good night. Stay in meditation if you want. I do love you all, more and more. Bye-bye.